You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 18th of December. The Jazz look absolutely fabulous in the first half, and then have the special player to close it out. We'll talk about the Jazz win over the Magic and look ahead to the upcoming road trip. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it a lot more fun for you to be a Jazz fan and stay more connected to your team. By the way, holiday packs are available. They're really cool on the Jazz site if you haven't seen them already. They have the Gobert pack, the Conley pack, the Mitchell pack. On the Conley pack, you choose one of seven great games to attend and get limited edition Mike Conley bobblehead doll. You also get a voucher to a Stars or a Bees game. Same thing with Gobert. It's one of seven games, get a limited pack. So it's really, really well done. The Mitchell pack is sold out, unfortunately. I just realized that. So anyway, if you're looking to go to a game or the last minute holiday package shopping, that's a pretty darn good one right there. Boy, were the Jazz great last night. They looked absolutely fabulous in the first half of last night's game with crisp ball movement. Awesome. A phrase I've used a lot is you have to have 240 minutes of basketball. And we have just not found a way this year to have 240 minutes of basketball, of high-level kind of performance. And the first half was 120 minutes of great basketball. All five positions, everyone was out there. The rotation was different with Mike Conley back and looked absolutely great. And another massive three-point shooting night, but that's kind of who we are. We're the number one three-point shooting team in the league. So go 15 of 36 from three is not at all unusual. Their 7 of 35 might have been a little bit. We just played great. And the first half was about as good a basketball game as I've seen this team play. Vince LaGarza at halftime joined us and concurred that, you know, really had a few offensive rebounds. We haven't been offensive rebounding a lot. Didn't do anything massive in that area, but it wasn't, you know, we weren't like Orlando last night ended up in the first percentile of all offensive rebounds. We've actually been there a lot. It's hard. We've talked about this a lot. When you have high turnovers and high offensive rebounds, it's hard to be good offensively. Our turnovers were middle of the pack last night. Our offensive rebounding wasn't great, but it wasn't bad, right? Like, it allowed our elite level shooting to go do what it's supposed to do. And we, in turn, had a good offensive game. Not a great one, just a league average offensive game last night. Partially because of the doldrums we ran into. The first half was a different story. We were terrific. The ball popped, the togetherness, a little overpassing, which is great. Really a stunning difference from what we've seen at other times in the season, and just another sign of the unbelievable. And this goes back to a show we did a week ago. Like, everything's going to be all right because, you know, the way the organization's culture, the way the front office put the team together, the way Quinn evolves the team as a head coach, and we have good guys, right? Like, you put those four pieces together and you knew this thing would get straightened out. Last night was a sign it's going to get straightened out. It was crisp. It was awesome. In so many things the Jazz did last night were just terrific. And then it did fall apart for a little while there. When they went to the bench, when Mike Conley was no longer available, you saw that it kind of that one more layer deep in the bench we went, and we couldn't stop things. It was a massive, massive run last night by Orlando. Our offense went away. Orlando was in transition. It was all of the best of times and the worst of times rolled into one. I mean, Orlando, by the end of that run, had, I think it was 32-8 by the time it was done. From the 32nd mark of the third quarter to the 440 mark of the fourth quarter. What's interesting about that, and we'll get into it in the, later, is it's kind of right when Mike Conley would have come back in the game. But then the Jazz did something really special. Then they went on a 17-3 run and scored on virtually every possession. Bojan Bogdanovic had 11 fourth quarter points. Donovan Mitchell was the star. And if you read the narrative coming out of Orlando, it was Orlando suffer perhaps the most painful loss of the season. Once again, their lack of a superstar hurts. We've got one. We got a young one, but we have one, and they didn't. And Evan Fournier and Nikola Vukovic, who are their two best offensive players in clutch times this year, have scuffled. And that was clear last night. Both of them shoot kind of in the 30s percentage-wise for the year in the clutch. And Fournier is 8 of 27 now, 29.6%. Vukovic is 5 of 15. Fournier is 4 of 15 from 3. Vukovic is 1 of 5 from 3. And so they got late in the game. They weren't going to be able to get to the rim because of Rudy. And in turn, they didn't have the firepower the Jazz did to make the plays. You know, Bogdanovic in the clutch this year, 46% from the field, 50% from three. Pretty incredible. Donovan, who takes most of the shots, is 38%, only 14% from three, but 27 free throw attempts, which he's made 20. It's a little low for him. He has not been great, but he also is the one often getting the toughest shot. It was interesting late. Late in the game last night, they went and flipped it so that Aaron Gordon ended up on Donovan Mitchell, back-to-back possessions. Donovan beat him and scored on him. I was surprised. I didn't suspect that you'd go after Aaron Gordon. Pretty interesting. A lot of minutes, 37, 37, 37, 35, and 35 for the main guys, as Mike Conley only played 19 minutes before going back out with the injury. That's the bummer. And I don't know anything. I mean, I'm not going to speculate, but significant enough that you saw Mark Spears and Tim McMahon, who were not at the game, suddenly tweeting out about it, right? So the rest of the league deemed that a guy coming back from a hamstring and then going right back out ends up being a pretty significant moment. See whether that turns out to be true. I haven't talked to any medical people on the team. I don't know anything, but it does not feel good, right? That you've gone through five games, you come back and then have some sort of tightness in the hamstring again is not a great sign there. But I don't know, I can't give you anything on any level to it. We'll talk about the rotation. I want to talk about some of the things that were that were different, some signs of the page has been turned, or the corner's been turned for this team. We're seeing the influence that the coaching staff has. We're seeing this team be the team that was built. There's a lot, that's not a bad team last night. In fact, that's a pretty good team. So the fact that the Jazz were able to have an average offensive game against them, I think's important. 346 passes last night for the Jazz. I believe that's the most all season long. So that's a great sign. It was abundantly obvious last night that was the most the ball has been pinging around the building. I might be wrong. But I do think that's right, that's the most passes we've thrown all year long. I have to check that, but just off the top of my head, that feels like an accurate statement to you. That 300, I don't remember ever hitting 350 this year. Today's show is brought to you by Sarah at Sunprint Solutions. Sun Print Solutions is it's a neat company. It's a Utah-based company. Sarah and her business partner worked at Sun Print Solutions out in West Valley. The company was going to be sold. They bought it and now are the printing leader in Utah. And they do incredible work. The thing I love about Sun Print Solutions when I was talking to Sarah about her company and what they do was that every single one Locked On people who are all so different, whether it's Murdoch Hyundai or LinkedIn or the store or Grip Six or any of the people that you've heard on this show over the years, homie, could use Sun Print Solutions. That to me was really the sign of what Sarah has built there. They also, LinkedIn, Intercap is interesting because with Intercap, they have to do a bunch of financial documents. Well, only certain printing solutions are adequate if you're doing financial work, because the financial work, you have to have all sorts of different qualifications and license, and they have those. So they could do Intercap as well. So it's a company started in 1941. It is now owned by Sarah and Jennifer. So they purchased the company and are building it back up to be the leader in the state. Zions Bank, Utah Jazz, a lot of people. So whatever your printing needs are, whether it's a package for a client, whether it's actually packaging itself, whether it's a beautiful book for to have in the showroom, whatever it might be, Sun Print Solutions is the answer. Email Sarah at sarah@sunprintsolutions.com. That's Sarah, S-A-R-A, at sunprintsolutions.com. I mentioned it yesterday, but if you're in last minute need for a gift, breakingtee.com/lockedon, breakingtee.com/lockedon. Has all the great t-shirts that are out there. That's the Joe Ingles shirt is there for you. They've got some fun things. There's a new women's soccer shirt. Julie Ertz was named Player of the Year, so they put out a t-shirt about that. That's what they do. They put out these really fun passion moments t-shirts. So they got a bunch on the Rendon siding. And then at the very, if you go to breakingtee.com/lockedon, you'll have the very end of it. Is the last thing on there is what they put on for me is the Joe Ingles stuff. So fun. Really fun. I'm sure you can find something for any sports fan you're looking for along the way. All right. Let's look at the rotation last night, because I thought it was so great. And then, I don't know when we're going to see it again, but it was so great. The Jazz really did some fabulous things with how they, and it worked, which might have been the most fun part about it. Unfortunately, Popcorn is not updated perfectly yet. They're a little slower sometimes. It's just a great site. So the Jazz opened with the starters. Joe Ingles started. So that was interesting. So the Jazz went and put Joe Ingles starting. Royce O'Neal off the bench. By the end of the night, each of them had played kind of what they usually do with Mike Conley out. They both were high 30s. Joe, 16 points, 12 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks, 4 of 4 from 3. Like, it's coming. I mean, if you look at Joe now over the last 10 games, 11 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 49% from the field, 44% from 3. It does absolutely works with him when he started. It did not seem to have an impact on Bogdanovich, Mitchell. Both of them got their 20-plus looks. Rudy got open. I felt like there was a lot more space on the floor last night than there has been in other games, but it might have been how Orlando was defending. You got to be a little careful making that observation over the entire, they had more space on the floor. That was clear to me. There's more driving lanes, more open opportunities. That team's been great offensively. The question is whether they're going to be able to defend well enough. They defended well enough last night. There was no problems in that regard. Their offense, the Jazz offense, when having that crew on the floor this year has been in the 120s. Last night, that was not the case. It was a defensive start to the game. The lineup stuff, and that they'll come down. The foul numbers both offensively and defensively with that lineup, which have been used at the end of quarters, are unnatural because they've been in the bonus so much whenever they're on the floor. So when you suddenly are starting games and you're not in the bonus, those numbers will be a little bit better. But for the year, and now this is, again, Mike Conley, now it's to 115. The defense is at a 113. So the defense has not been great. That group has been good, but not great. But it was clear that there was more space on the floor. Again, then Royce O'Neal came in for Mike Conley, and the Jazz rolled till the six-minute mark when then Emmanuel Mudiay, who is just continuing to show signs of really developing, checks in for Joe Ingles. And so now you have O'Neal. So it's of the six core guys, you've got four of them in there with Mudiay. And that rolled all the way until the Jazz made their first set of substitutions at the 250 mark. But what was unique was that Bogdanovich, who had checked out, Bogdanovich checked out. What was unique was that Joe Ingles, who had checked out, checks back in at the 250 mark. So now Joe Ingles is on the floor with Ed Davis, Jeff Green, Emmanuel Mudiay, and the Jazz are leaving Royce O'Neal out on the floor, and they played brilliantly for the final 250, and they played up against mostly the Orlando bench. They then took the game from a two-point game and stretched it out to the end of the quarter to a six-point lead. That group continued to play really, really well, and but what was interesting now was that Mike Conley re-entered for Mudiay to close out the first quarter and was on the floor for the final possession where he gets an assist to end the quarter. So really that bench unit that we were talking about was kind of plus one, but then the minute Conley comes back, it's plus three. Conley rolls with that group, and Conley came back in at the 28.7 second mark and rolls with that group all the way out until the big guys come back in. But we're up nine, 35-26, and with momentum. And this is something I talked about earlier this week that I don't know the value of, is how much does game momentum impact when you come into the game? If you're coming in the game off the bench and the game's not going your way, does it still impact you even if you weren't on the floor? And it does seem as though that's the case. It's an interesting thing to look at. I don't know how you would ever prove it, but it does seem that way to me, that it has that impact. So now the Jazz go back to Donovan Mitchell, Bojan Bogdanovic, Rudy Gobert, and they just were brilliant. I mean, the ball just pinged everywhere. There were a bunch of corner threes. I'll get to that in a second. They ran. They played in transition. They got out. They were terrific. Orlando made little surges. They handled them, and then they took the lead by halftime to 58-46, I think it was. Or 48's a free throw late, so 58-47. And they just look great. The starters start that third quarter. We're up 11. And they were not as good. We kind of have an offensive doldrums. We only scored two field goals. By the time Royce O'Neal comes into the game, it's down to six. We've only scored two field goals. But we take it right back up to 13. Mudiay comes in. We're up by 13 still. The group looks great still. We take it up to a 16-point lead. The rotation's working beautifully. There's no lull. We take it up to an 18-point lead. We committed above-the-break turnover, which are catastrophic. Jeff Green comes in the game. We're still up 16. We're still rolling. And then we make our next set of substitutions, which is Mudiay. Conley comes in. Joe Ingles comes in. Ed Davis comes in. We're up by 16. They make a little tiny surge, but Joe Ingles hits a three, so we're up by 16 with 41 seconds left. Ed Davis hits one of two free throws. We're brilliant. We are brilliant to this point of the ballgame. And then, Mike Conley misses a three at the buzzer, and he starts the fourth quarter, and they start their little run. And then Mike Conley has to go out of the game at the 10:28 mark. And by that point, it is down to five. And we start to struggle. And that's where it just, again, so it's a little bit with Conley on, but it's also kind of when Conley's on. But it's also right about the time where Conley would have stayed in the game and held the second group together. it really kind of comes completely undone. We're up, when Conley goes out, we're up 7, 84, 77, I think it is. And then we just can't do a lot. It had certainly slowed down before that, but it's right back into this one layer deeper of our substitution pattern, and things start to kind of come undone. And it's undone still largely on poor offense, leading to transition the other way and us just not getting out in defensively in transition. We go, O'Neal hits a three at the 7:54 mark. Our next bucket's at the 4:31 mark. It takes us another minute for Bogdanović to hit a three, but at that point, we're now rallying back. And it all swung on Donovan's dunk. At 97-90, we're down by seven. Vukovic has a layup, 4:44 left. And with 4:31, Donovan comes through the lane, packs it, and swings the game. And then Donovan and Bogdanović just go to work. Then it was just awesome. The two of them, other than Joe Ingles' two free throws, score every point to close it out. And that's what the Jazz have done. They've acquired another option late in games. So I thought we looked great. I thought it showed every sign of the change. I thought it showed every sign of the growth. There were a lot of things that I thought were absolutely terrific with how the Jazz played, kind of the growth of what we're seeing, the impact that you kind of would expect to see from a Quinn Snyder on his team, and, you know, all the things we've talked about in the past about how this team, you know, has right guys, has been put together with good players and coming in. So I thought that was great. Now, how long till we see Mike Conley again, and what do we do about that? That gets really interesting. I don't know the answer, but Quinn made huge strides and his coaching staff made huge strides in that regard. This week, today's show is brought to you by the store. Your holiday needs for all of your shopping needs are available at the store. They're located in three locations now. The first ever Utah's own store is at 6200 South and 20th East. You walk on right in. The cake de fleurs are right there. The bakery's over to the right-hand side where you can get the great mudslide cookies for you. Then the June Pie Case. June Pies are a woman out of Heber, Utah, who makes these great, amazing pies that you could get for the holidays if you'd like them. And typical to the store, they find out about June. They now have them in there for Utah's own. And you throughout the store, we'll see Utah's own, whether it's apple fritters from Bambury Crust, whether it's June Pies, whether it's great salsas from Diablo, whether it's the chips from the chip lady, I don't know her name, whether it's caramels from some or cotton candy from local companies. It is it's just flavored across the board with Utah's own element. I was at the Gateway store yesterday, picked up some Clifford eggs for my wife. She's a fan of those. And then the mudslide cookie and the Lockdown Mudslide ice cream by Leatherby's. Come on, help us out. Buy a little Lockdown Mudslide ice cream. I need to make sure those sales are existing so I can still have the greatness of having an ice cream. Like, that would be the saddest thing if they come, please, please. Okay. Anyway, located 6200 South 20th East, also down at the Gateway, right across from the Children's Museum. And now the small little store, the Quick Grab and Go at 900 South and 100 West. It's the store. All of your holiday needs, get your turkeys, your hams, whatever it might be, order them through the store. They've got great deals for you. The Distel turkeys are available, hams as well. It's all at the store. 6200 South 20th East, Gateway, and 900 South and 100 West. I wanted to look at the road trip, but I also had one or two other things I wanted to check in on beforehand. The Jazz are now the second best clutch team in the NBA, 11-5 in games in which we're within five with 5 minutes left, and the second best differential. That's a tribute to, you know, Donovan, Quinn, group, all the same things. All the things we're talking about, that you saw this team coming together and playing at a very, very high level last night. And I do think, you know, Donovan and Bojan basically being stars. Bojan's 30 is great. Like, he just drops 30 every night now. He's dropped 30 more times with the Jazz than he has in his entire career, plus like three. It's pretty incredible. One thing that happened last night in the first half, and I don't have these numbers. I don't know how maybe I should have written them down. We ran a ton early, it felt like, and we ran really well. Last night, we averaged 1.87 points per possession in transition, according to Cleaning the Glass. But by the end of the night, we'd only run on 8% of our possessions. We spend the most possessions in the league in the half court and the fewest in transition. And that is really an area where we're going to have to pick that that up. If we can play a little faster and take advantage of the opportunities, and as Ron Boone talked about, running to score would be is something that hopefully we can kind of reintegrate, because we had it there going for a little while in the first half last night, and then we didn't have it after. I don't know if we got tired or if the personnel changed or if we stopped getting stops, and so therefore you're playing back in the half court. I'm not sure why that took place, but it did. Overall, shot selection last night was great. We forced them into 38 mid-range shots. We only took 26. When you win a four-point ball game, that's a large part of it. They shot unnaturally well at the rim, but we took 34% of our shots at the rim and 37% of our shots at three. They took 40% of their shots as mid-range and only 2% corner threes. The corner three, to me, has really become the indicator to me of whether or not we are playing well, both offensively and defensively. Interestingly, in three of the last four games, our opponents have not made a corner three against us. So our opponents in the last four games against us are 4 of 13 on corner threes. Flip it to the Jazz shooting. In our last five games, we have taken 11, 10, 13, 14, 12. That to me is the sign that things are coming together correctly, is the amount. The above the break numbers are staying the same. We're now getting all these corner threes. So against the Grizzlies, we were Grizzlies were 8 of 11. Thunder, we went just 1 of 10. Timberwolves, 7 of 13. Warriors, 8 of 14. And last night, we were 4 of 12. So, you know, we're still taking a lot of those floaters. Last night, we hit them. We went 11 of 21 on them. Donovan made a bunch of plays late on those floaters. But we're also driving with our eyes out, which is a huge improvement to the way we were playing earlier. And, you know, kind of the point of what it's going to take for this team to evolve. So great, great signs last night. The only bummer is Conley. All right, let's look quickly at this road trip. We'll dig into it more in depth tomorrow. We play Charlotte. Charlotte, interestingly, is 26th in point differential, but 13-7. So they are winning kind of unnaturally. Over the last 2 weeks, they're 24th offensively. They played much better defensively. They're 13th defensively. James Borrego is a good young coach in this league. He's done some really good things with them. They've got a little sharpshooter in Devontae Graham, who's kind of the surprise story of the year. They lost Kemba Walker and seem to be holding it together fairly well. That's our second stop, actually, in Charlotte. But Graham is their number one usage guy, and then Malik Monk is number two. So certainly a different group. Terry Rozier is right up there, might actually be their number two usage guy. Miles Bridges, and then a rookie named PJ Washington. So that's a group that, you know, it's different type of group. Atlanta is our first stop. They're really struggling so much it's almost unnerving to play them. Their point differential in the last 2 weeks is 27th in the league. They're 23rd in the league offensively, 27th in the league defensively, minus 10 overall, 28th for the season, 6-22. Trae Young is everything, but they don't have a lot else. And then Miami is our final stop. And Miami's interesting because they are 19-8 on the season, but not playing as well recently. Their defense, which is supposed to be their calling card over the last 2 weeks, is 22nd in the league. So it'll be interesting to see what we get to Miami. So it'll be a good road trip. And then we'll be back for the holidays with a great game coming up. Those packages are available at utahjazz.com. If you're needing some other gift, you can go to lockedonpodcast.com/offers. It is a Wednesday. Make sure you tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of podcast Locked On NBA. Have a great one. Thanks a lot.